Hello, believers. Welcome to a retro episode of Just Praise Him Radio, back when it was called Wings Radio. I had originally planned to re-record this series, but at this point, I just cannot foresee having the time to get that done. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and this week is our final installment in the series, Hindrances on the Pathway to Promotion, Test from the Life of Joseph. Our final test, number 10, is the test of revenge. It's found in Genesis 42:6. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Now Joseph's brethren had sold him into slavery to strangers years before because they were jealous of him because their father favored Joseph over them. And he planned for Joseph to inherit the double portion of the firstborn instead of the firstborn Reuben, who he had had with Leah. Leah was, of course, the wife that his uncle Laban had tricked him into marrying in place of Rachel, which was the wife he really loved. But the point is, Joseph's brethren had sold him into slavery, which led to 13 years of real hardship for Joseph, which, of course, God had planned. And now, Joseph was second in command of all of Egypt, and he was in charge of selling food to people in Egypt and people from other places, I guess, that were also in famine. He chose who to sell to and, I guess, how much they paid. And the brothers came and bowed down before Joseph, not recognizing him, of course. He had a perfect setup to take revenge if he wanted to take revenge on his brothers, didn't he? The perfect setup. Just imagine your worst enemy who's done something that wounded you so deeply, so painfully, and all of a sudden, let's say that you are the hiring manager for a big company and they are in desperate need of a job, and there you sit behind your big shiny desk and they come in kowtowing to you, begging for a job. What would you do? And imagine a famine following 7 years of plenty that was so severe that all the plenty that had grown in the 7 years of plenty was completely gone and no more grew. It would be way worse than the Great Recession we just had years ago, y'all. In a famine, it doesn't really matter how much money you have to buy food because in a famine, there's no food to buy. And we all know such a famine is coming to America and likely other nations as well. Only God can keep you fed in times like those. The test of revenge is the test of whether you will take vengeance on someone who has hurt you if you are given the opportunity. David faced this test the two times he stood within easy reach of King Saul, who chased him for about 10 long years in the wilderness, trying to kill him. David, truly a man of God, did not take revenge and even tried to use these times to show King Saul that he had no ill will towards him in the hope of stopping that insane running and hiding in the wilderness. David just wanted to get back to his life, but King Saul was consumed with his jealousy of David, and he refused to stop trying to kill him. So let's see what the Bible says about revenge and what happens when we get into this frame of mind. Romans 12:19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' saith the Lord." That's the main verse we need to keep in mind. Proverbs 24:29 says, "Say not, I will do so to him, as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work." Leviticus 19:18, "Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Deuteronomy 32:35, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them, make haste." Proverbs 20:22, "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee." 1 Corinthians 13:4-5, "Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous." And this is not the King James Version. "Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered." I was talking to Jerry about this show, and he quoted something that he had told me many years ago, and I had forgotten it. And I don't know
who originated this quote. If you hate, dig a grave for two, one for the one you hate and one for you. It is hatred that breeds revenge in our hearts. And true hatred, to truly hate, is to commit murder in your heart. 1 John 3:15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I'm going to tell y'all a story. There was a truck driver that went into a restaurant. He was minding his own business, and a motorcycle gang began to harass him. One of the men in particular got right in his face. Big man in the 18-wheeler, out of your truck, you're a wimp, he shouted and poured coffee all over the man's food. The trucker calmly got up, paid his bill, and walked out. And the biker said to the waitress, he's not much of a man out of his truck. And the waitress casually answered back, he's not much of a truck driver either. He just ran over six motorcycles on his way out of the parking lot. We all like that kind of a story, don't we? It appeals to our human nature. When we get cut down, we like to have some clever way to get back. But God tells us, resist that impulse. Don't take revenge. Y'all know what revenge comes out of? Pride. It is pride that has to have the last say. It is pride that has to be able to say, ha, you didn't get over on me after all. You just thought you did. God tells us not to follow our human nature because that's our fleshly nature, but to follow His Holy Spirit. God warns us not to take revenge, and when we do, and we do occasionally, don't we? It destroys our relationships with other people. It hurts our thought life, and it takes away the blessing that God intends for us to live in. It also ruins our witness to other people. It shows a heart that is selfish. The bottom line is, taking revenge will lead us to ruin, spiritually speaking. And you know, the truth is, you have to carefully guard your heart if you don't want revenge to start growing in there. If somebody hurts you really bad, or if multiple people are hurting you, or if you're jumped on by a gang of people at work, maybe all the coworkers are against you or whatever, it's hard not to let bitterness spring up in your heart, and you will have to work at it. You know, I posted a message on the Wing site. Today is actually Wednesday, March 23rd, 2016, about where the enemy is attacking us. Because we know over the last 3 or 4 weeks that God's people have come under a very intense new wave of attacks. And the Lord showed me something this morning in my spirit about that, that He's attacking the things in each of us that He fears the most. And so the Lord showed me that people really need to be aware to look and see where He is attacking you. Find what the assignment is, because then you can cancel the assignment. And so that's what that message is about. Another thing about revenge, when we take revenge, we are revealing our lack of faith in Jesus to keep His word. And we reveal that we are spiritually weak in that area because we lack spiritual foresight to know that if we take revenge, there is a spiritual consequence, y'all. There's something coming back on us. If we strike out and if we play God in someone else's life and take revenge, you're playing God when you do that. Because He said that vengeance is His. If it's His and you take it, you're stealing from Him and you're trying to play His job. And He don't need your help. How we handle the feeling of wanting to get revenge speaks a lot about our character. And as a Christian, it speaks a lot about how we're progressing in our walk with Jesus. The bottom line is, when we take revenge, we're stepping into God's territory, trying to do His job like we know better than Him what needs to be done. And we need to stay out of that. He's God all by Himself. You remember in Genesis when Jacob stole the birthright from Esau, tricked his father into giving him the birthright blessing. The blessing of the firstborn from Esau. Remember how upset Esau got and he said, I'm going to kill Jacob. Was it wrong to have those feelings? No, it wasn't wrong to have them. It's wrong to try to act on them. And he didn't end up acting on them. But I always want to say when I read that, Esau, you sold your blessing for a bowl of soup. Why are you upset? When you sell something to someone, it's no longer yours and you shouldn't expect to still get it. But Esau did expect to still have it. And by every right, it was Jacob's to have, though his father would not have agreed to that. And I think he knew that. And that's why he tricked his father into giving him that blessing. But realize that if someone has hurt you, The desire to get revenge is a natural feeling. It's natural. It's a human reaction. But just because it's natural and it's there does not mean we have to act on it. We don't have to give in to our emotions, do we? Did you know you can actually rebuke your emotions when they're giving you trouble? That's right. If you're angry, you can rebuke that anger. If you're sad or upset, you can rebuke that sadness. But with Esau, you notice he held a grudge. It says, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. And he said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. So he holds a grudge in his heart and he bids his time and he keeps reassuring himself, yeah, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. How unhealthy is that? Have you ever noticed that anger and resentment and the desire for revenge will keep you awake at night? They will. Night after night after night, scenarios will run through your mind of what you could do to exact revenge or what you're going to say to them. Well, they say this to me, I'm going to say that. Just holding the grudge, even without acting on it, is detrimental. It affects your peace. It takes away your peace. It affects your blood pressure. If it goes on long enough, it will affect your heart. It definitely affects your spiritual heart. And it is deadly to your spirit because the root of bitterness begins to grow out of anger and resentment. And it turns into unforgiveness. Eventually, it can turn into hatred, which is the same as murder. Esau hated his brother for what he did, and he wanted to murder him for it. We can try to tell ourselves that, you know, having those little daydreams about revenge, thinking about or talking about what you're going to do to them or wish you could do to somebody is okay. But Proverbs 14:22 says, do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. In our culture, it's popular to think that if someone hurts you, you have the right to take revenge. But there is not one soul on earth that has the right to take revenge. That right belongs to God alone. His word says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. That right there takes it away from every one of us. So what was the result of the Jacob and Esau scenario? Who won? Nobody won. Absolutely nobody. Rebecca was estranged from Esau because he wanted to kill Jacob. Jacob left. She never saw him again. That was her favorite son. Didn't even get a phone call. Oh, and how's her relationship with her husband Isaac now? Yeah, that's probably going to be real good, right? So Esau's alone. Jacob is alone. Revenge made a big mess out of that. And if something bad happens to your enemy, don't gloat. Proverbs 24:17 says, do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from him. There's another one somewhere that says, lest a worser thing comes upon you. And I don't remember the exact quote, but it says, So we don't want to be thinking like that either. That's not a right state of our heart, y'all. And as long as we are on earth, we are going to have to fight bad thoughts. We're going to have to fight negativity in relationships, being angry at people. That, you know, human nature is with us until we leave these fleshly bodies. It's here to stay. I hate to tell y'all that. I know that's not good news. But we have to keep renewing our mind in the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit for help to help us get everything under control. But we're imperfect people. We're flawed. We're not going to be perfect, but we need to do our best for the honor of the Lord Jesus. I need to tell y'all this funny story. Clarence Darrow, the famed criminal lawyer, once joked, everyone is a potential murderer. He said, I've not killed anyone, but I frequently get satisfaction out of obituary notices. Now, why would we find that funny? We find it funny because it comes so close to the truth, don't we? One of the most difficult commands in the Bible is to love your enemies. They're the hardest to love, y'all. People that have hurt you are the hardest to love, aren't they? We want to do a lot of things to them, but love ain't one of them. But you know what? The greatest rewards come when we do the hardest things that the Word tells us to do. And this is one of them. The greatest rewards come when you say, no matter what, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. I'm going to make my flesh obey, even if I have to beat it half to death. And sometimes you will have to beat it half to death or starve it to death. If you want to reach your areas of promotion, if you want to make it to the destiny you believe God has shown you for your life, you have to master the revenge test. You have to pass the revenge test. And if you really, really keep your mind renewed in the Word, if you stay in God's Word, you're listening to Bible teachings, you're reading the Word every day, you're in prayer often during and throughout the day with the Lord, You should be able to pass this test. That is the key to it right there, is walking really close to Him. Because when you walk really close to Jesus, He means more to you than any of the fleshly stuff does. And you're able to say, okay, well, it would be fun to take revenge on that person, but you know what? I want to please Jesus more than I want to please my flesh. That's the key. There's a story told about a man who had embezzled $27,000 from a partnership he had with a Christian couple. The Christians became bitter. They couldn't sleep well at night, and they were really troubled by what had happened, and who could blame them. And finally, they approached their minister asking what they should do. And their minister said they should find a way to invest in their former partner. That's pretty tough advice right there, y'all. So after they prayed about it, they discussed it, they decided they would find a financial need that he had, and they would meet that need for him. Learning that he had to move and he needed $3,000 to do it, they gave that money to him. Almost immediately, the wife began to sleep better and the bitterness left them. They related that they believed that God had begun compensating them financially because of their faithfulness in doing this. We have to remember something else. Not only is God the one who repays, God is the one who pays people back when they hurt us, but He also recompenses us when someone hurts us because we are His children. He will give back to us anything that someone has taken from us. And I know the Lord well enough to tell you that if this man stole $20,000 from Christian people, from anyone, but especially from Christians, he will lose at least that much in the future in some form or fashion, if he doesn't pay it back to them like he should. Romans 12:21 says, "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." That's what this couple did. They overcame evil with good. They overcame the bitterness in their heart by doing good to the very person. They blessed their enemy instead of cursing him, and they were set free. It's like forgiveness. When you forgive someone else, you're not setting them free, you're setting yourself free, because they probably don't care whether you forgive them or not. Whatever they did to you, they probably are just going on with their life and they couldn't care less. You are the one that's trapped by your unforgiveness. And not only that, you can't go to heaven with unforgiveness in your heart. And I say that because all of these are connected. Hatred, the want for revenge, unforgiveness, bitterness, they're all connected, y'all. Leonardo da Vinci once had a terrible falling out with a fellow artist just before he began work on The Last Supper. The story is told that he determined to paint his enemy as Judas. It was a perfect likeness. But last of all, he set to work painting the likeness of Jesus. And no matter how hard he tried, nothing seemed to work. Finally, he realized that he could not paint the portrait of Jesus as long as his enemy had been painted into Judas's place. Once that was corrected, then the face of Jesus came easily. We can't paint the face of Jesus on our lives if we hold bitterness in our hearts. A woman wrote to Pulpit Helps to explain a miraculous lesson her family had experienced. I think I've shared this before, but it's worth sharing twice. During one of their family Bible readings as new Christians, they came across the verse, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him," Romans 12:20. Their sons, 7 and 10 at the time, were especially puzzled. Why should you feed your enemy? So her husband and her, even though they wondered too, the only answer that they could think of was, "Because we're supposed to, because God says so." Day after day, John Jr. came home from school complaining about a classmate who sat behind him in 5th grade. "Bob keeps jabbing me when Miss Smith isn't looking. One of these days when we're out on the playground, I'm going to jab him back." And she was ready to go down to the school and jab Bob herself by then. Obviously, the kid was a brat. Besides, why wasn't the teacher doing a better job with her kids? She thought, well, I better tell her off too at the same time. So she was fuming over that to John Jr. when his 7-year-old brother spoke up. Maybe he should feed his enemy. None of them was sure about the enemy business. It didn't seem that an enemy would be in the 5th grade. An enemy was somebody who was way off somewhere. They all looked at John because he was the head of the family. He should come up with a solution. The only answer he could give was the same one he gave before. "Well, I guess we should, because God said so." And, well, the mother asked, "Do you know what Bob likes to eat? If you're going to feed him, you may as well get something he likes." "Jelly beans," he said. "Bob loves jelly beans." So they bought a bag of jelly beans for him to take to school the next day and decided that the next time Bob jabbed him, he would just simply turn around and put the bag on his enemy's desk. And they would see whether or not the scripture really was true. The next afternoon, the boys rushed home from the school bus, and John Jr. called ahead. "It worked, Mommy, it worked." And she said, "What did Bob do? What did he say?" He was so surprised, he didn't say anything. He just took the jelly beans, but he didn't jab me the rest of the day. In time, John Jr. and Bob became the best of friends, all because of a little bag of jelly beans. Both of their sons subsequently became missionaries on foreign fields. Their way of showing friendship with any enemies of the faith was to invite the inhabitants of those countries into their own homes and share food with them around their tables. It seems enemies are always hungry. Maybe that's why God said to feed them. You will face the revenge test at some point in your walk. If you're headed for a very big promotion, you will probably face it several times.